brothers and sisters of like precious faith, and lift our hands and lift our voice in praise and acclamation unto you. Lord, you are so worthy. You are so worthy. God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, to be enriched in our lives, God, that we would be strengthened, God, that we would see the principles and precepts therein that would guide our lives, God. Or that we would go about doing good. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Save me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he healed me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We wanna shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you're standing, I'm going to give the opportunity to greet those around about you. Shake their hand. Tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord. And it's all right to smirk and smile and say something about your pastor's haircut. It's all right, too. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't you greet one another as we sing?
Of the goodness of Jesus, and all he has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all he has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. Much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus
and all he has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. We did receive a flyer in the mail. I know some of you have been contacted by Pastor Dixon, who first called me and made sure it was okay. But he did contact some and also sent to the church an invitation to their anniversary services that are happening this coming weekend. It's their 25th anniversary services happening there at New Hope Apostolic Church there in Yorkville. There is a flyer back on the bulletin board if you would like to go and be a part of that. They have a service at 7 o'clock on Friday, and then a service at 1 o'clock on Saturday. If you go to the Saturday service, there's a meal served after that. And so if you'd like to go and be a part of that. And then Sunday, well, you need to be here. But Friday and Saturday, you have opportunity to go and celebrate with them as they celebrate 25 years there as pastor. New Hope Apostolic Church there in Yorkville. Information, like I said, is back there on the bulletin board to let you know exact time, speakers, that sort of stuff. If you have any questions, his number's there. You can call as well. And so we encourage you to go and be a part of that that is happening this weekend. Back to regularly scheduled programming, if you will. This coming Sunday, we will have our normal two-session format on Sunday morning. We did dispense with that last Sunday because of Easter, and I'm sure you understand why we did that. And then we're back to the normal format. And then on Sunday night, we are continuing in our Revival by Design. We introduced that, this coming Sunday will be two Sundays ago, and we kind of rolled it out, the kickoff, and now we're going to get into the actual teaching, the curriculum, if you will. If you have not signed up for either the paper or in the folder form, or the media form, the electronic media form, both of those sign-up sheets are back there. Also, thank you. So many have already signed up to help us. What we're doing on Sunday nights in the Revival by Design teaching is there's going to be two sessions. Be about a 35 to 40 minute session. Then we're going to have a break. In that break, we're going to have light refreshments. People are going to provide some finger foods, some snacks, some drinks, that sort of stuff. Will be provided just kind of a in between thing. And then the second session is going to be kind of, for the most part, it's going to be reaffirming what we learned in the first session. Maybe some group activity, some practical application of those things. And so we're looking forward to that. I need somebody to help me, if you will. This is one of the ways that that you can help. And now we're not expecting you to foot the bill. The church will reimburse you, but I need someone to make about 25 copies of this 7-page pack. All right, Sister Graham, she was first to raise her hand. So, 25 copies of this, and then we'll get you next time, Sister Christine. You can help us with that. Basically, what we're going to do is every week, in order to get the curriculum, you're going to have to come to the class, because that's when we're going to give you the curriculum for each of the lessons. This coming Sunday night, we'll actually do two different lessons where much of the introduction we've already done, so we'll skip over some of that. And like I told you in the rollout, it's not going to go word for word verbatim. I am going to tailor it to us and what I feel led to do in the sense of manipulating the curriculum, if you will. I hope you will indulge me in that and allow me that liberty. But we're going to provide the information to you. If you put down your email address, we're going to send that to you before the weekend. We've already got all the folders in. We just got to get the copies to put in the folder. So, Sister Graham, if you'll see me after service, I will give that to you. And anytime we have you do these things, we're not expecting you to foot the bill. Just provide us the receipt, and we'll gladly reimburse you for that. So just so you know, that's happening on Sunday. A lot going on here. And then please be reminded to look at Breeze, look at the calendar. You can look at what's happening, get some details about the different events that are upcoming. The month of May is going to be a rather busy month. We have Mother's Day outing. Also, the possibility, I talked to Sister Michelle, did find out that Colin, CJ, as some of you know him, is going to be, I guess, shipped out on May the 9th. And so they want to have a small celebration for him before going. And wanted the church to be a part of that. And I told them whatever they would do, we would support and promote. And so that's happening as well. Other events that are like the Mother's Day outing, we haven't determined exactly where that's going to happen, but that is on the schedule for May the 6th. And so just making you aware of a few things. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. One special need that I would ask you to pray concerning. One of the attorneys where my wife works lost a family member that he was very close to, and he's struggling with it. And I know that he would covet our prayers. I tried to contact him today by way of phone, but left him a voicemail just to let him know that we would be praying as a church for him and for his comfort in the situation. And so as we go to prayer, I'd ask you to remember Attorney Nathan Ewing in prayer, if you would, and ask the Lord to minister to him, help him through this time and loss of a loved one. And so let's remember, Sister Connie's not feeling well tonight. She texted me before service. She's not able to be here. So let's continue to lift up Sister Connie before the Lord. And then there was one other. Oh, Brother and Sister Kellum are not able to be here tonight. I know they would cover your prayers as well. Anybody else have a prayer request? Sister Christine? Certainly. Orion's, remember John Nasal in prayer, certainly. Anybody else? Prayers? Thank you, Jesus. All right, certainly. Remember the Kendall family prayer. Yes. Sister D. Amen. All right. Sister Allie. Certainly. All right. Brother Gregor. All right. All right. All right, remember little Kaylee, certainly. All right. All right, all right, certainly. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that no care is too big or too small, God. We can come to you with the concerns of life. Lord, whether it be a healing, God. Lord, there is no, God, there is no illness that you cannot heal, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that we have power through you, God. Power over death, hell, and the grave, God. We thank you that we can come to you and believe and trust in your power to work in us and through us, God. To see your work, God, your miraculous work in our midst, God. Come to you in faith, believing, God. We lift these names, these needs before you in prayer, God. Oh, we know, God, that you have all power in heaven and earth, and you're able, God, to work and to move. We pray, Lord, that you would use us as vessels, as ministers, God, of your choosing to stretch forth our hands to heal in your power and your authority, speak words of life and encouragement, God, to help those that are struggling with the loss of a loved one, God, those who are dealing, God, with a terminal diagnosis. God, we know that we can come to you and believe and trust in you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth. How wonderful it is to know you and to serve you, God, to find your help and your strength, God. Jesus, in your precious name, we love you, God. We praise you, God. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study of boundaries. I won't take too much time to kind of go over what we talked about last week. Hopefully you were able to take some notes, and we essentially talked about different boundary markers, how to evaluate a boundary, where a boundary should be. We talked about some laws of activity and what the difference was between being proactive or reactive in relationship to our boundaries. And tonight we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to answer, I don't know if you remember, at the very onset of the study, we talked about some different questions that we may have in regards to boundaries. Am I selfish for setting boundaries? Can I set boundaries and still be loving? Those kind of questions that readily come to mind when we think about setting limits or saying no or setting boundaries. And so tonight we're gonna explore that in a little bit. But I want to start off with this verse of scripture. It's found in Luke 6:26. This is the words of Jesus. He says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." I might say it this way. If everything you say and do is liked by everyone, you are most likely living a lie. I'll say that again. If everything you say and do is liked by everyone, you are most likely living a lie. I am being false to someone. If I am liked by all and nobody has an issue with me in the sense of boundaries in my life, well, then I'm probably not truly being a true person. There's probably some falsehood, if you will. And so tonight we're going to talk about some myths. We're going to talk about boundary myths. Well, what's a myth? And one of the definitions of a myth is a widely held but false belief or idea. We're going to talk about three main myths when it comes to boundaries. Things that we may struggle with and things that we may believe, ideas we may think concerning boundaries, but they're not true, they're false. And these boundaries that we're going to talk about, number one is, when I set boundaries, I am being selfish. We're going to talk about how that is a myth, how that when you set a boundary, you are not being selfish. And the way we can understand that is there is a difference between selfishness and stewardship. There's a difference between selfishness and stewardship, and we're gonna dive into that a little bit deeper here in a few moments. And then myth number two, I am being offensive and combative. When I set boundaries, when I say no, when I set limits, I am being offensive and I am being combative. Well, we'll talk about how that boundaries are defensive by nature. Boundaries are not attacking. We do not attack people with boundaries. That's not how boundaries work. Boundaries, by their nature, are defensive. And then number three, I will ruin good relationships. If I set boundaries, if I say no, if I do what I should do and what I know I feel in my heart should probably do, well, I'm going to ruin a good relationship. I'm going to cause somebody to get mad, offended, upset at me, and I'm going to ruin a good relationship. And we're going to talk about how boundaries are a test of good relationships and how they build stronger bridges. So we're gonna dispel, we're gonna bust some myths, if you will. We're gonna dispel some myths about boundaries. We're gonna talk about how that I'm not being selfish when I'm setting boundaries. How that I'm not being offensive and I'm not being combative when I'm setting a boundaries. And we're gonna do some practical application. Maybe you can see the tape up here. Sister Rachel earlier did a football sign and I really didn't. It took me a minute to, and then I realized she was football hash marks and I got it. I thought at first she was just losing it, but I realized she was talking about football. Well, that's not what we're going to talk about, but we're hopefully going to use this up here to kind of give an illustration of some of the things that we're going to talk about in dispelling some of these boundary myths. So let's talk about myth number one. Myth number one says, I'm being selfish when I set boundaries. I'm being self-centered. I'm thinking about me. I'm not really being loving like I should. I am being selfish when I set boundaries. And we're going to talk about why that's a myth. Why that when we do set boundaries, if the boundaries are appropriate, we are not being selfish at all. We are being good stewards. We are taking what God has placed in our knapsack, in our responsibility, in our area of what we need to handle, and we are being good stewards. We're not being selfish. When we set boundaries, when we set limits, when we sometimes tell people no, we are not being self-centered and we are not being selfish. We are doing what God has asked us to do in the sense of being good stewards of what he has placed into our care. So we're going to talk about that. Well, let's talk about what selfishness is. If we're going to dispel the myth of I'm being selfish when I set a boundaries, well, let's talk about what selfishness is. A fixation on wishes and desires to the exclusion of the responsibility to others is selfishness. When it's all about what I want or what I desire, I don't really don't care how that affects you. I don't care about your need. My want is greater than your need. And though you have a need that I can legitimately help with, but I decide to do what I want to do when I want to do it, that's selfishness. It's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about telling people no where you can legitimately help them and it's appropriate and it's right and it's within your scope and responsibility according to the Word of God to help bear their load, okay? If we refuse to help people when we can help them, we are being selfish. But setting a boundary in and of itself is not an act of selfishness. When I tell somebody no because I understand that's not my area of responsibility, that's their area of responsibility, I am not being a selfish person. I am being a good steward. And one of the ways that I'm being a good steward is I am preventing them from acting in selfishness. I'll show you how that works here in a little bit. Fixation on the wishes and desires to the exclusion of the responsibility to others, that's what selfishness is. But understanding the error of responsibility and setting boundaries accordingly, that's stewardship. When I understand what is in my scope, when I understand what is in my knapsack and what God has placed under my care, what is my responsibility, and I set boundaries so that that responsibility is upon me and me only. And I don't allow other people to come in and take or add to what God has defined as my responsibility. Understand that? When I get that and I'm able to define what my area of responsibility is and I set boundaries in accordance with my area of responsibility, I am not being a selfish person. I am being a good steward of what God has placed in my care. I am making sure that I am doing with what God has given me what God intends for me to do. And I'm not making myself accountable for things that God says that's outside of your scope of accountability. Because then I become frustrated. And then I feel like I'm doing so much. And I become that drain that I'm never receiving any in. And I become exhausted. And this whole living for the Lord is just about doing everything for everybody else. And nothing gets done for me. And in doing so, we neglect our own needs sometimes. And when we neglect our own needs, we are not setting appropriate boundaries. And I am not being selfish when I have a need. When I have a legitimate need that I need brothers and sisters to help me with, and I have something that is a load or a boulder that I cannot bear, I am not being selfish when I ask or I seek the help and assistance from someone else. That is not selfishness. That is good stewardship. That's understanding my limits. That's understanding that I can't do it on my own and I need help and I need assistance. And here's the thing. Selfishness and stewardship have an inverse relationship. Now, I'm gonna attempt to, I need four volunteers. Anybody, doesn't really matter, four volunteers. Don't everybody break at once and run up here. Come on. Four volunteers. You don't have to have any great athletic ability. Come on. All right. This will work. Okay. Sister Christy, I need you to come up and stand right here. I need you to hold this end. All right. Brother Ryan, I need you to come to this end. Stand over here in these hash marks. Brother Gary, stand over here in these hash marks. All right, now, Brother Jay, you're going to hold this end. All right, now, try to get over that center mark. I don't know if you can, how many of you can see the numbers on the front? Anybody see the numbers? All right, see it goes from zero in the middle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, both sides, right? Anybody familiar with the number line? Is that going way too far back for some of you in your education? Number line. Anybody remember what inverse means? It's the same amount. It's just different portions, right? Inverse relationship. All right. I won't get too mathematical on you. Okay. Let's think about it in this sense. Okay. This would be an appropriate boundary. Each of them have their own 5 levels of responsibility. Brother Gary has his 5 levels of responsibility, and you have your 5 levels of responsibility. A boundary is in the middle, right? It defines that area as being your area, and it defines this area as being your area. All right? Now, let's think about it in a working relationship. Let's say that they are working together, they are co-workers, and they each share this responsibility. You have 5 responsibilities, and you have 5 responsibilities. It's in your job description. It's in your job description, right? However, if you have to do all 5 of your responsibilities, you're not going to get to go play golf. All right, I know you're not a big golfer, but just. So what happens is that he wants you to take up. Now I need the boundary to kind of move this way. Okay, so now you have 7 areas of responsibilities, and he has 3 areas of responsibility. The problem is these 2 shouldn't be yours. And these 2 should be yours, not his. But you want to go play golf. And so we'll take these 2 areas of responsibility and make sure that you have them. Now, here's how stewardship and selfishness are inverse one another. Because he is not being a good steward and saying, no, bringing the boundary back here, that's not my area of responsibility. I'm sorry. But he says yes, he acquiesces, he complies, he's a compliant. He doesn't want to ruffle feathers. He knows he's not really his boss. He can't tell him what to do. But he doesn't want to deal with, you know, he's not going to talk to me at break time and I'm going to have to deal with all these things. So okay, I'm going to take those two areas of responsibility. So now you move back here. Okay, now see what has happened is it's selfishness on this side. He doesn't want to do the extra responsibilities has caused the lack of stewardship on that side. Because now those five things that are his, he's going to have to somehow add these other two. Somehow these other two are now going to be his area of responsibility. And so now we think about it in the other way. Now this is in the area of responsibility. Now let's think about it in the area of personal space. Let's say that he's one of those people that doesn't really recognize your boundary. And that he thinks he can come all, come back with me, boundary markers. Come. He can come all the way over here. And I'm good right here. I don't respect that boundary should be here. I think the boundary should be here. And now, this is what you got for your own personal space. I don't recognize family time. I don't recognize what you want to do. It's all about me. Do you understand how if the border is misplaced, the stewardship and selfishness are inverse. It's the same amount of responsibility. It's 10 areas of responsibility. But because he doesn't want the area of his responsibility, he'll move that border of responsibility all the way here. And so now he's just got these three areas and you got seven areas of responsibility. But when it comes to his personal space and not encroaching upon him, he thinks the boundary should be all the way over here. Now, when it comes to stewardship and it comes to selfishness, they're inverse. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, yes, give them a hand. In the context of stewardship, we set limits and boundaries in our lives. Why? Because our lives are a gift from God. Because God has given us this space, if you will. God has given us this life. He has granted us the abilities and the responsibilities that are. And so we recognize that they are a gift from God. And so we have to be good stewards of that. And if I'm complying and I'm separating all these different responsibilities, I'm trying to do all these different things, I cannot be a good steward of the things that God has placed in my life. And what happens is that other people who are selfish and who don't want to be good stewards will find those individuals that are compliant and they will manipulate. Remember the manipulative controller or the aggressive controller? And they will find that individual. And they will recognize that based upon their own wants and desires, he wanted to go play golf. Well, if he was a good steward, he would recognize, wait a second, I don't put off this responsibility on somebody else because that's not loving to them. That's not real. What if he wanted to go and do something with his time? What if he had arranged it? And see, the understanding is when I operate in selfishness, I am not being a good steward, but when I operate in being a good steward, I am not being selfish. I understand that's my area of responsibility. God has placed this into my care, and so I will do so. And doing so and setting that boundary is not being selfish. When we say no to harmful things and yes to helpful things, we are being good stewards of God's gift of life to us. When we set appropriate boundaries, when we put the walls where they need to be, and we put the gates where they need to be, we are being good stewards of what God has placed in our responsibility. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm a good steward. I'm not being selfish when I tell you no. I'm being a good steward of what's in my care and responsibility. And if I say yes and I comply and I just allow you to put off your responsibility on top of me because of your selfishness, then I can't be a good steward. So I'm not being selfish when I set the boundary and tell you no. I'm being a good steward. I'm recognizing that that's not my responsibility, it's yours. And I'm not allowing, catch this. And so when I'm a good steward, not only am I a good steward of what God has placed in me, I don't aid in the selfishness of someone else. Someone who would take advantage of it. Someone who would say, well, you're compliant, so I'm going to take it. And my selfishness, I'm going to do what I want to do, and here you go. And when I'm a good steward and I say no, not only am I being a good steward of what God has placed in my care, I'm preventing them from being selfish through me. Catch that. Myth number two. I'm being offensive. I'm being combative. When I say no, it's gonna ruffle some feathers. It's gonna offend people. And if I tell them no and I recognize it's not my area of responsibility and it's not my job to pay your bills and it's not my job to do this for you. This is your responsibility, this is your knapsack, it's not a boulder that we must carry together. This is your responsibility. And if I tell you no, I'm not being combative. Now, let's think about this in the context of a marriage relationship. Because this is where it often plays out. When you have one of the two that is the compliant and the other who is the controller. And the controller, whether it's through manipulation or through aggression, the controller is trying to get their way because of what? Selfishness. Because they want what they want. And so they are trying to get their way by being manipulative or being aggressive and trying to control the situation. And then the compliant finally reaches a point where they say, no, I'm not being compliant anymore. Now, they may not say it in those exact words, but they say, no. No, that's not my area of responsibility. And then they think, well, oh, I'm being offended. Now I'm causing a fight. If I tell that person no, they're a controller, they're just going to be more manipulative and it's just going to get more, there's going to be more aggression and I'm going to cause a fight. It's combative. Pastor, if I say no, if I set boundaries, if I set limits, it causes an argument every time. It causes a fight. And so it's just easier for me to acquiesce. It's just easier for me to give in and comply. It's just easier for me to put a gate there and say, come on in. When I know it should be a wall. But if I put a wall there, I'm being offensive. I'm being combative. No, that's a myth. You are not being offensive. You are not being combative. Why? Well, let's talk about it. Boundaries do not attack. Boundaries do not attack others. They are defensive by nature. When I set a boundary, even though that individual may get upset, even though that manipulative controller, that aggressive controller may get all up in arms and become angry, understand this. We sometimes don't set the boundary because we feel like it's our boundary that causes the anger. Mm-mm. We can't control how somebody responds. How that individual responds to the boundary, that's between them, right? I didn't cause that individual to be angry. They may be angry at the boundary, but the boundary itself did not attack them. If someone is offended by the boundary and or limit that is set, it is because they are already where they should not be in relation to you. Remember when the boundary was all, not in the area of responsibility, but in the area of personal space. Remember when the boundary was all the way over here by Brother Gary? And then Brother Gary, if he at this point says, okay, I'm setting a boundary, and he puts it back to zero, well, all of a sudden, Brother Ryan, he is appalled. How dare you set that? You're taking up three spaces. No, what he's doing is setting the boundary where it should be in the first place. And the reason why you're offended is because you're over here and you shouldn't be here. And when somebody gets offended by me setting a boundary or setting a limit, it's not the boundary that went on the attack. It's the understanding that they are where they should not be in relation to me already. And when I set that boundary, it begins to push, if you will. It causes some resistance, yes. But it's not offensive in nature. It's defensive. It's establishing, no, this is my area. This is why that boundary needs to be there. These three blocks that you took up, those are mine. It's not yours. Well, you offended me and you hurt me. No, understand this. Setting the boundary in the right place. The only reason why it offended you or hurt you is because you were where you shouldn't have been in the first place. And the reason why you were there was not a motive of stewardship. It was a motive of selfishness. Boundaries defend your treasures from being taken and protects the gifts God has placed you steward over. Catch that. Boundaries defend. They protect. Now, think about it from a spiritual sense. Boundaries protect. Boundaries defend. And people say, well, I'm offended that you do that. I'm offended that you live like that or you dress like that. It offends me. No, it doesn't offend you. It doesn't offend you at all in the understanding. It doesn't attack you. Me having boundaries in my life, me having convictions in my life, that doesn't attack you. I'm just defending. I'm defending what's special. I'm defending a relationship with God. I'm not attacking you. Oh, so you're telling me if I don't do those things and I'm a sinner? No. But how many times have we heard that in response? How many times have people come back and, oh, so, well, that's what you do. If I don't do that, then I'm not holy. Wait a second, you're looking at it wrong. These boundaries in my life are not set to offend you. They're not set to attack you and what you do and how you live. I respect your choices. I respect you as an individual and what you decide to do. I'm not judging that. I'm not coming against that. But it's not my boundary that's offending you. It's not attacking you. The boundary is set for defense of the treasures that God has placed in my life. And I'm not going to go certain places and I'm not going to do certain things. Oh, you're not going to go with us? What, you don't like us? No, it doesn't have anything to do with liking you. It has everything to do with it's a boundary in my life. It's something that I have set. It's something in my relationship with God. It's not attacking you. If you decide to go somewhere else, I'll go. But that's a boundary for me. And it's not, I'm not condescending. I'm not coming against you and what you choose to do. I respect your choices. But I ask that you would respect mine. And that you wouldn't try to pressure me or convince me that I need to do that or I'm not your friend. Or I need to acquiesce in this area or I don't really care about you or the relationship. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. The one being selfish without respect to stewardship is the offending party. Catch that. The one that's being selfish without respect to stewardship is the offending party, not the one setting the boundary. The one that gets upset because you brought that boundary back where it needed to be. And the reason why they're upset is because it's encroached upon territory that they took in their selfishness that God placed you steward over. And now that you've set the boundary, oh, it's offending. It's combative. No, it's not. It's defensive. Boundaries are defensive in nature. And you are not attacking individuals. And you are not on the offensive when you're setting boundaries. You are protecting the treasures that God has placed in your care and made you steward over. And if I love what God has placed in my care and I respect what God has placed under my responsibility, then I will set boundaries accordingly. Why? So it doesn't get jeopardized. So selfish people don't come in and take what God has placed me steward over. Myth number 3. I will ruin good relationships. If I set boundaries, I will ruin good relationships. And let me just say this. This is In my years of ministry, this is one of the main issues with people truly being converted. It is. Because all their attachments and sometimes even family and spouses and loved ones, they're afraid that if they start setting boundaries in their life, if they really follow the Word of God and start becoming discipled and start doing things according to the precepts and principles of God, that they are going to ruin good relationships. That family member's not going to talk to me anymore. It's going to be strained in relationship with my spouse or with my friends or with other people. And so many times people struggle in truly converting because they're afraid that setting boundaries in their life will ruin good relationships. When I have to tell my friends, no, I don't do that anymore. When I have to tell other people, no, that's not the life I want to lead anymore. When they want to go somewhere on Sunday and I say, no, I'm going to church. They're not going to want me to come hang out with them anymore. They're going to start calling me a Bible thumper and I'm going to have to deal with all that. And it's just going to ruin good relationship, Pastor. Wait a second. Will it? Well, let's talk about that. Boundaries are a good litmus test for the strength of relationship. If a bridge is easily set ablaze with a boundary, it wasn't well built in the first place. I'm going to say that again. If a bridge is set ablaze with a boundary, just because I set a boundary or I said no, and that relationship is ruined because I set a boundary and said no, newsflash, it wasn't a good relationship to begin with. It wasn't a well-built bridge in the first place. If I set a boundary and it sets someone off and they decide they don't want anything to do with me anymore, they don't want to talk to me, they don't want to spend time with me, oh, I'm going to follow after the things of God, and you're going to be religious, you're going to be one of those people. And see, this is what new converts struggle with a lot. And this is why it's important for the people of God to establish bridges, to build relationships with new converts. Why? Because if they are going to set the boundaries in their life and they are going to start living a different life, then guess what? Not by their own choice many times, because they would still have friends if those friends would treat them differently and start respecting their boundaries. But many of them don't. And so they have to make a choice. Are they going to set the boundary and sever the relationship? And the reality is some of them, and it's not that they mean or their motive is wrong. They truly want attachments. We all have a need for relationship in our life. And so we set the boundaries and then the relationship becomes severed. And here's what we need to understand. If setting that boundary or setting that limit caused the relationship to ruin, it wasn't a good relationship in the first place. If the other party cannot respect the boundary, then the relationship is not good to begin with. If they don't love me enough to take a no from me, if they don't love me enough to respect my boundary, if they don't love me enough to allow me the latitude to set boundaries in my life, it's probably not a relationship worth having. Secondly, it's probably not a relationship that's going to be conducive to any type of spiritual growth in my life. Setting boundaries clarifies character issues and works towards conflict resolution before crisis and collapse occurs. How many, I don't know, obviously it's speculation, it's after the fact, but how many relationships might have been saved or salvaged if individuals would have set some boundaries to begin with and then test the strength of that relationship on that boundary? Is this person special enough to me? And is our relationship strong enough that I can look at that individual and say, no? And they respect my boundary. Wow. Maybe that is a very good litmus test to whether there is strength, whether there is substance there. If I can tell that individual no, and they can look back at me and say, okay, I respect that. I get it. I may not understand everything, but I respect that you have that boundary. But I'm sure we can find other ways and other common ground. And we, you know, some of the best relationships that I have in the sense of good guy friends, we can get on and we can argue. And at the end, it's all said and done. I don't feel any worse about him, and he doesn't feel any worse about me. And the fact that we can argue, and the fact that we can have some conflict, and we can recognize that I don't see things that way, and you don't see things that way. I don't see things your way, you don't see things my way. But that's all right. There's still a friendship there. If we don't agree on this point, that doesn't mean the relationship falls. If anything, it strengthens the relationship because we know that there can be conflict and we can still get past it. We can move on. We can find other common ground to walk on. And boundaries are, they're not going to ruin a good relationship. They may ruin a bad relationship, but they're not going to ruin a good relationship. Don't let the enemy convince you that if you set boundaries in your life, oh my goodness. I hope that as my daughter grows up, I can convince her, baby, it's all right to set boundaries in your life. It's all right to be proactive and go ahead and make some decisions right now. And if that young man can't respect your space and he wants to go and encroach on what God has placed in your stewardship, you don't need a relationship with him. If he doesn't respect you enough to respect your boundary, and when you tell him no, that he understands no, then you need to keep walking. And I know in that context, sometimes it's so easy to see and it's so easy to understand, but what about in the context of relationships? What about in the context of a marriage that may be rocky at best right now, and they're struggling, and they say, well, if I set boundaries here, well, then it's just going to cause more. It's just going to shake it up more. It may, or it may not. If it's good relationship, and it's something that you can strive together spiritually in accordance with the Word of God, boundaries will not weaken your relationship. If it's a good relationship, it'll strengthen it. Boundaries will reveal bad relationships for what they are, bad. And will make good relationships even better. Boundaries in a relationship will bring about one of two things. And here's the reason why a lot of people don't like to set boundaries. Because they know one of two things is going to happen. Now, the first one, you say, well, nobody should be scared of that. Well, maybe. If they're avoidant and they don't want to let people in, they set boundaries, one of two things is going to happen. Either the increase of love and intimacy. It's going to be respect of boundaries. May not agree, may not understand, but I respect. And love and intimacy will grow. It may reveal a character issue, but guess what? We can work together for conflict resolution before there's a crisis. Before we end up at the attorney's office signing papers that will have an effect on everybody around us. I'm just being real. Maybe we can start setting some boundaries. I dare say a lot of marriages could have been saved if both parties would have understood how to set boundaries to begin with, and in love and intimacy, respect those boundaries and grow together. I dare say love and intimacy would grow. However, this is the other thing that happens. The understanding there was very little substance to begin with. Sometimes when I set the boundary, it reveals that it's shaky. When I set the boundaries, it reveals that the other party may always be a manipulative or an aggressive controller, and they're not going to change. And I've got to give some consequences. I've got to put the boundary, in some cases. See, the consequences are kind of like the barbed wire. They inflict the damage when trespass occurs. And sometimes individuals are scared to put boundaries because they understand if I put a boundary here, it's going to reveal this to be shaky. It's going to reveal that there's very little substance here at all. Think about this. Think about this in the context of living for God. I know it's a somber moment, if you will, but look at this verse of Scripture, John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Sometimes individuals in their walk in relationship with God, understand we're talking about boundaries in relationship. The reason why they will balk at boundaries, catch this, because for one, they may be fearful of what love and intimacy with him will cost them. Catch this. This is very important. Or two, if the boundaries are placed, it will reveal there's very little substance there to begin with. Jesus said, he that loveth me keepeth my commandments. What are you saying, Lord? This. The boundaries will show, they will reveal whether your relationship with me is good or bad. Wow. Those boundaries. And see, that's why a lot of people struggle. They don't understand. They don't understand these principles and the precepts of God. Folks, they're protecting the treasure. They're not just there to make you miserable. They're to protect the treasure. They're to let you understand that he that keepeth my commandments loveth me. And if you're willing to set the boundaries, and if you're willing, and here's the thing. Here's the thing in Christianity today. Is that people think that relationship with God doesn't come with any rules or regulations. They don't. But all throughout the Bible, the Lord likens our relationship to him as a marriage. Anyway, do we think of marriage as being a relationship without rules or regulations? Do we think of marriage as just being doing whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it? Certainly not. We understand the relationship, the marriage, the covenant between the individuals or the parties. There's some things I do because I love. There's some things I do because I may not even understand it. But guess what? I get that it strengthens a relationship. I get that it doesn't tear at it. I get that it doesn't demoralize it. And so I do these things. And here's the thing. A lot of people in relationships, they don't understand that when they continue to make selfish decisions, what they are doing is not only are they making selfish decisions, but they are causing the other individual to have to work extra hard at even being a good steward. My God. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Can I say it this way? He that hath my boundaries. He that hath my limits. He who understands the principles and precepts and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What is Jesus saying? If you understand my boundaries and you keep them, love and intimacy will grow. One of the main reasons why we lose so many young people once they graduate from high school and going to college is because they know all about boundaries, but nothing about relationship. We hammer them, and we hammer them, and we hammer them with boundaries. There's, just put it this way, and I'm quickly coming to a close, but just indulge me this. With a pet that truly loves the home and everything around it, you don't need much of a fence because they don't wander very far. When the relationship is there, the relationship itself will help hold in proximity. Do we put fences up? Certainly we do. Do we make boundaries? Certainly we do. But I've said it so many times and I'll continue to say it. I refuse to corral people so much that the only thing they can see is the wide open spaces. Give them room to run, but teach them how to run in relationship. Because they'll understand those boundaries are about a love and an intimacy. Because if it's just boundary without a relationship, it will reveal that there's very little substance there at all. Jesus, we thank you for your word. God, we ask that you would help us, God, to understand your will and your way, to see your principles and your precepts, as loving instruction, God. Help us grow in our love and intimacy with you, God. Lord, that we would love you enough that when you tell us no, and when you say no, that's too far, you need to put a boundary there. We don't turn away. And we're not like the rich young ruler who said, no, that's too much. And he went away sorrowful. Lord, that we would put a boundary. We would say, okay, Lord, you know what's best for me. So I willingly accept the limitations, God, because I know you do so in love. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. God bless you. You may go in the name of Jesus Christ.